And you're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition. It's now 10 minutes before 9, and joining me as usual on Thursday mornings is WGBH Arts Editor Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, we have a new season for the Boston Symphony Orchestra and a new music director, Andras Nelson.
And yesterday, after this long, long wait for a new music director, after a long wait to see what he'll do, because he's been only the music director designate for the last year since he was named in May, we finally found out what this new, young, he's 35 years old, Latvian music director is going to do with the Boston Symphony Orchestra next season. And starting in September, what we will see is basically going back to Andras Nelson's roots. This is very much a sort of autobiographical season for him. There'll be a lot of Slavonic music. He's going back to his Germanic and Russian traditions. And he, even to the extent at which he's starting his gala, his very first gala in September, with a piece, a Wagner piece that he first heard as a five-year-old.
Wow.
When his parents took him to this opera, he says that is the moment when he realized that music was
really
going to be his lifeblood. He would study it and make it his career.
Wow.
So
at the age of five.
At the age of five. I mean, yeah, of course, to be the music director and to be preeminent as he is highly sought after the world, he's a genius, and you can understand why at 5 years old this man knew what he wanted to do. He held a press conference yesterday at the BSO at Symphony Hall, and he talked about what this first season represents to him.
It's introducing myself to the orchestra, to get to know orchestra better, to enjoy the world-class quality what the orchestra has. And to, you know, just to, like, enjoy driving the Ferrari, which I've got now. And, you know, this is I don't drive, but so I hope you made the right decision, but
sounds like a very funny fellow.
He really is. I mean, this is going to be a new identity for the orchestra,
yes.
I think, because, again, there was so much turmoil in the James Levine years and his illness and the orchestra being unhappy. And, of course, they've been leaderless but still exceptional over the last several years. But now you have somebody with youth and vitality and energy, and he's very, very self-deprecating. This is a man who, as I just mentioned, is so brilliant. He's a genius. But at the same time, he was admitting yesterday he was so nervous at the podium. He just had come from a rehearsal of Salome, and he said that the decapitation in Salome is probably less horrific than what he found standing at the podium for a press conference before the Boston press was. So I think we're in for a lot of fun.
Wow.
And a lot of fantastic music.
That's a great sign. So this is all beginning next September as the season gets underway. Huh?
Begin September. And Family Affair. And by
Wow.
the way, he said he's looking for a 3-bedroom apartment in Boston. So if anybody knows of anything, contact Andras Nelson. Because he will be, the serious point here is he will be making a presence here in Boston and settling down and getting to know the community, even though, of course, he's still keeping a lot of worldwide commitments.
Does he have a parking space for that Ferrari? Does go for a lot of money in Boston, too. The parking spaces, that is. Okay, next we turn to a play that you say you liked a lot at Suffolk University, being presented by Company One Theater. The title is The Flick.
This is a new play by Annie Baker. It premiered in New York last year, and it's actually set in Worcester County in this old movie, rundown movie house that we used to go to where our feet stick on the ground because of the soda left there. And this is in the days long before, or it's left over from the days before, stadium seating. And you have these three characters, Sam, Avery, and Rose. And Sam is this 35-year-old guy, and he just can't figure out where his life is taking him. He's irritated that he's having to run the popcorn stand and do soda at the same time. And in comes Avery, a Clark University student who's training under him. And then the third main character is Rose. She's the projectionist, and she's sort of this dynamic force. And for the next 3 hours, you sit there and you immerse yourself in these characters. And Annie Baker's whole notion is she writes realism. She doesn't write language for the stage necessarily. She wants the characters to converse as if you were sitting down right next to them.
Hmm.
She wants life to be inhabited as it really does, which means long pauses, long contemplation.
Mm-hmm.
As one character says something to another, you see them stopping to think and how they're going to react. So it really feels like you're with these characters, especially in the very intimate space of the modern theater. But even though there's no great dramatic arch, you feel for these characters. You quickly come to understand who they are, and you want to follow them over the successive nights as they come in and out of the theater to clean and have this interaction.
Fascinating. Now, you mentioned this is a really long production. I mean, 3 hours. Are there any intermissions?
There is one intermission, and I should mention that this was a little bit controversial in New York last year because some people were put off by it. But again, Annie Baker wants this naturalism, and so she's very strict that these pauses must be in the piece. And I have to say, Bob, I have not stopped thinking about this piece since I left the theater, and this is a feeling I haven't had in some time, that I care about these characters. I want to spend more time with them. I want to see how they develop. And that's just, of course, testament to a genius playwright.
That's the key to playwriting right there. Now, Annie Baker grew up in Amherst, right? And so she has some strong ties to Massachusetts.
She does, and this community really likes her. If she's the same playwright who several years ago the theater community rallied around and simultaneously in repertory, three different theater companies in Boston each presented an Annie Baker play at the same time. So you could see all of them.
Really?
And actually, my favorite one was presented by Company One. They did The Aliens. I sit on the Theater Critics Association. We honored that with many awards. And again, with her work, they've done terrific things. They just have a feel for her that I think probably few have to make her work that exceptional.
The flick is at the Modern Theater through March 15th. Okay, now we turn to the movie theaters. Now that the Oscars are over, we get started again with more films. And the first one here is, 300, Rise of an Empire?
Yes, this is the adjacent film to 300, the film of a couple years ago. And this sets us back in Greek times. And you have the Persian king Xerxes attacking the Greeks with his fleet of about 1,000 ships. This is very stylistic. It's very sumptuous. It's all done with CG and on green screen, but that doesn't matter because it's so lusciously done. It's very captivating. It's also horrifically violent. I actually saw one person leave and mutter as she was leaving the screening that I attended the other night. That said, this is really a well-made film. It's got layers and layers, and it's got these the great dramatic arcs of the Greek myths that all come into play, and fantastic characters. It's all based on Frank Miller's graphic novel, Xerxes, and there's every reason to see it if you can stomach the violence, because it's a very different film and quite well-made.
Yeah, that Greek mythology, some violence there for sure. Now, the Belmont World Film Festival, aware of that.
I just wanted to make a quick mention of it. It starts this coming Monday, March 10th. It runs through May 5th. And this is where they take submissions from some of the best foreign film submissions. You'll see films from Singapore, Chad, and Afghanistan, places you don't normally see films, Brazil, France, Morocco. And I'll actually be there on Monday, March 31st for the film Only When I Dance, which features two black teenagers from Brazil who just want to dance, one of whom is now in the Boston Ballet. And so I'll have live conversation with him.
Wow, March 31st. So thank you so much, Jared Bowen, here every Thursday morning on WGBH's Morning Edition to fill us in on what's happening in the art scene around Boston. Thank you, Jared, and we'll see you next week.
All right, thanks, Bob.